Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to see that the forecast as far as snow and stuff wasn't what they thought it was going to be. Maybe we should all be weathermen and you can be right half the time and still get paid. So, but welcome to St. Mark's. My name is Lewis Johnson. I'll be leading us in worship today. Pastor Bob and Janine are taking a little time to refresh and reconnect, so we pray them blessings on their time as they rejuvenate. We have a guest pastor with us today. Pastor Mike Ziegler from the Lutheran Hour is going to be leading us during a sermon today and also Bible study afterwards. So I would encourage everyone to stay if you can. A lot going on today. Obviously, it's Life Sunday, and it's the beginning of National Lutheran Schools Week, so we're having our school kids coming up and singing a couple of songs with us as we begin our worship service. So let's stand as we begin our worship service today. And we begin remembering the name of which we were baptized in. We begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so... Sometimes we just can't think of the right words to say, Lord. We are so blessed by you, so humbled that you love us so much that you would send your Son to die, to pay the price that we could never pay so that we could live eternity in heaven with you. We ask you to fill us today with your Holy Spirit, guide us and direct us as we lift our hearts and voices in praise to you. All this we ask in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we talked about, you know, that price that we could never pay. Those thoughts, those words, those deeds that cause us to have separation from God. And again, ultimately, Jesus Christ paid that ultimate price for us. So let us confess those sins. If we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For this sake, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Our Heavenly Father has heard our confessions, and because of the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, know that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And at this time, we're going to have our school kids come up and lead us in a couple songs.
Hello, I am Jacob Lockwood, a sixth grader at St. Mark's Lutheran School.
My name is Claire Meyer, and I'm also a sixth grader here at St. Mark's. Today's scripture is Psalms 139, verse 7 through 18. Where I go from your spirit, where I flee from your presence, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the deeps, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light became night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is light to you.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All those days that were ordained for me were written in your books before one of them came to be. How precious to you are your thoughts. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
All right, thank you. And now we have our sermon reading. Pastor Mike.
According to St. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, as he, Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus said. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite the children to come forward for a message. Good morning. I have a question. What is a miracle? Somebody could tell me what a miracle is? Yeah. Something very amazing. Good answer. Anyone else have something to say about what is a miracle? Something very amazing. Anything else? Who can do a miracle? Jesus. So a miracle is something very amazing that only God can do. Only God can do, and a miracle points us to Jesus. So if you listened in the reading I just shared from the Gospel of John, there is a miracle in that story. And I'm going to tell you the rest of the story as it goes on from chapter 9, and I want you to listen because there's more than one miracle in that story. So if you want to turn, and if you can't see me, children, you want to come and look at me? So I'm going to tell you this story. Children, you guys are more interesting than the message. Okay, well, whenever you're ready, I want to tell you this story. So remember how the story started. Jesus was walking along, and he saw someone. Remember, he saw a man who was blind. He was born that way. And you remember his disciples asked him a question. They said, "Rabbi, who sinned? Who did something bad that this man was born this way? Was it him or was it his parents?" And Jesus said, "It wasn't that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God would be displayed in him. We must work the works of God who sent me while it's still day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And then you remember what Jesus did? It's very strange. He spit on the ground, and then he made mud with the spit, and he put it on the man's eyes, and he told him, "Go and wash in the pool called Siloam," which means sent. And so the man went and he washed his eyes off and he came back and he could see. Now the people who knew the man before, his neighbors who used to see him sitting there as a blind beggar, when they saw him, they were like, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" And some people said, "It's him." But other people said, "No, it only looks like him. He kept saying, 'It's me, it's me.'" So they said to him, "Well, how were your eyes opened?" And he said, "The man called Jesus put mud on my eyes and sent me to the pool of Siloam, and he said, 'Wash.' And I went and I washed, and I came back and I could see." And they said, "Where is he?" And he said, "I don't know." So they brought this man to the religious leaders there called the Pharisees. Now when Jesus had spit on the ground and made the mud, it was a Sabbath day, a day when everybody was supposed to rest and not do any work. And so the religious leaders said to the man, How did he open your eyes? And he told them, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see. And some of the religious leaders said, this man can't be from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And so they were divided about him and they said to the man, what about you? What do you say of him? And he said, he is a prophet. Now the people there didn't believe that the man had been blind and that Jesus opened his eyes until they called his parents and asked them. They said, is this your son who you say was born blind? How is it that he now sees? And they said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he sees, we don't know. Ask him. He's old enough. He can talk for himself. He will give you an answer. Now his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, because they had already agreed that if anybody were to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, they would be kicked out of the school, of the synagogue, the church. And so they said, ask him, he is of age. So once more they called the man back who had once been blind but received his sight, and they said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. And he said, whether he is a sinner, I don't know. One thing I know, though I was blind, now I see. They said, well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He said, I already told you once. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to be his followers? And he said, oh, you are his follower. We are followers of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't even know where he comes from. And he said, you don't know where he comes from? And he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but those who worship God and do his will, God listens to them. Never in all the world has it ever been heard that anybody opened the eyes of a man who was born blind. If this man weren't from God, he could do nothing. And they said to him, you were born in sin, and you would lecture us? So they kicked him out of the school, of the synagogue. Jesus heard that he had been kicked out, and he found him, and he said to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man said, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said, you have seen him. He's the one talking with you now. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world, that those who are blind may see, but those who think they can see will become blind. All right, boys and girls, what was the miracle that Jesus did? He made a blind man see. Well, what was the other miracle, the bigger miracle that he did?
That he taught him to believe.
Yeah, that the man saw Jesus with the eyes of faith. That's the biggest miracle. That's the miracle that Jesus does for us. All right, let me say a blessing over you, and then you can go back to your seats. Thank you so much for listening to this story. Here's the blessing. The Lord bless you and send you his Holy Spirit so that you may walk in the light of Jesus all your days. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
All right, and right now it's time for a little worship. So there's a cross in the center aisle. So for those kids ages 4 to 4th grade, there will be time for a special message for you. And now we will have a message from Pastor Mike. And let's say a prayer for Pastor Mike. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Pastor Mike, and Lord, for all of our pastors who have heard that call to be your shepherds here on earth. We ask you to bless the words of his mouth and the meditation of our hearts that will be acceptable in your sight. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Lewis. First, I want to bring you greetings from Lutheran Hour Ministries. Lutheran Hour Ministries, if you haven't heard of it, we are a global gospel outreach ministry. We've been doing this for over 90 years. I get to be the speaker for the Lutheran Hour, which is the longest-running Christ-centered radio broadcast in the world. And it's but Lutheran Hour Ministries is much more than that. It's more than just a single program. We are a global gospel outreach that does ministry in over 50 countries around the world, and we reach, get this, 150 million people every week with the good news of Jesus through our ministry centers and volunteers all over the world, including here in the United States. So thank you for being a part of this ministry and letting me come and speak with you this morning. This is where I got my start. I was a field worker here in 2006. Some of you may remember me from then. This is where I did my first worship service leading and did my first sermon as a seminarian. So thank you for bearing with me through all that and for welcoming me back today. I want to talk to you about life. Let's go to the next slide, Jason. So the man pictured here is a man named Nick Vujicic. Nobody knows the cause why, but Nick Vujicic was born without arms and legs, limbless. I first learned more about Nick when I saw a rerun of a program. It was this program 60 Minutes, but the Australian version. Nick's a native of Australia. In 2008, 60 Minutes Australia featured a story about Nick. And the program opens with film footage of Nick at a swimming pool. And he's there in his swim trunks, armless and legless, and he's up on the diving board. And you see Nick, he shimmies out to the edge of the diving board. And then he turns himself around and he throws his head back and flips into the water. He bobs up from the surface of the pool, shakes the water out of his eyes, and then as you're watching him swim back to the edge of the pool, you're thinking, how is he going to get out of there? He doesn't have any arms and legs. He does have a little foot, though, a little foot attached at the bottom left side of his hip bone, a foot with two toes, and he can do amazing things with that little foot. He uses his foot and his chin and his shoulder blades to hoist himself out of the pool. He stands up on the deck with a great big joyful smile and light in his eyes, and the interviewer for 60 Minutes Australia says, "You really can do anything, can't you, mate?" And Nick says, "Well, I suppose there's no harm in believing so." Next slide. This guy is my new hero, Nick Vujicic. If you wanted to, he's got lots of videos on the internet. V-U-J-I-C-I-C is how you spell his last name. Vujicic is how you say it. Anybody heard of Nick Vujicic? Yeah, there's a handful. He's a pretty famous guy. I'll tell you more about him as we go. As you can imagine, Nick suffered through a lot of bullying growing up, a lot of feelings of worthlessness and hopelessness, depression, suicide attempts. But God has gotten him through that. And he has learned to do amazing things. Not just swimming, but surfing and fishing. And he can drive a boat with his chin. And he can type. He can type 53 words per minute with those two toes. He went to school, top marks in his class, graduated from university with a double degree, started a business, continues to manage the business, and he's got a family. He's married, has four beautiful children. Like I said, one of my new heroes. If you watch any videos, if you ever seen, blessed to see Nick speak, anybody seen Nick speak in person? He draws people. People are attracted to him, obviously because of his unique appearance, but it's more than that. He's got a magnetic smile, and he doesn't take himself too seriously. He's easy to listen to tell a story. He laughs at himself. He He gets invited to go to speak a lot of places. Go to the next slide. He says that he says he gives a lot of hugs. He says he's the kind of guy who just skips the handshake and goes straight in for the hug. He says when he goes and speaks to kids in schools, especially the younger kids, when they first see him, they have no filter at all. They're like, dude, what happened to you? And Nick's like, cigarettes. And they're like, seriously? And he says, no, I'm just messing with you, mate. But he's that kind of guy. He just laughs it off. But he hasn't gotten any answers as to why he was born this way. He hasn't gotten any good answers. He's gotten some bad answers, though. He tells a story once when he was 12 years old. A woman came up to him and said, have you ever wondered why you were born this way? And Nick's like, uh-huh. And she says, have you ever thought of reincarnation? And Nick's like, what's that? And she says, you're being punished for your former life. But don't worry, now that you're a good boy, you'll come back as a butterfly. And Nick's like, this woman don't know how many butterflies I ran over in my wheelchair. Next slide. Today's Life Sunday, and it's a day that we as Christians celebrate life as a gift from God. All life. All forms of life is a gift from God. And that's easy to say, but it's another thing to live it out. It's another thing to believe it. And I think we are tempted, even as Christians sometimes, not to receive life and see life as a gift, but rather to see it as something deserved, something earned. So the disciples in this reading from John chapter 9 that we heard, they were tempted to see life not as a gift, but as something deserved. Remember the question that they asked? Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born this way. They were seeing life as something deserved, something earned rather than something given. The woman who spoke to Nick Vujicic, she saw life as something deserved, not something given. Now, she also had this whole other belief in reincarnation. And that's a different subject. Not going to talk about that. Very briefly, we'll say, can we all agree that the Bible says that reincarnation is not a thing? That there is no reincarnation. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, it's appointed for man to die once, and after death comes judgment. You only get one life in this fallen world. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to raise the dead. He's going to make all things new, and he'll give you new life. Not reincarnated life, but resurrected life. Same body. This body that died is going to be raised from the dead, just like Jesus. There's no reincarnation. That's not what we're talking about, but I want to talk about something different, because I think just like that woman saw life as something deserved, something earned, you and I as Christians are sometimes tempted to see life as not a gift, but as something deserved, something earned, just like the disciples of Jesus were tempted to see life that way. And it starts with this question that they ask, Rabbi, who sinned? That this bad thing happened to this man. Who sinned? Was it this man or his parents? See, the disciples are working with a view of the world that's very similar to ours. It's a biblical view of the world. We believe that God is the creator of everything, and because he is good and wise and fair, he created the world to work with order, good order. There's cause and effect. Our actions matter. Good actions produce good outcomes. Evil actions produce evil outcomes. There's cause and effect. That's how the world works. The Bible talks like this. For example, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 says this. Without wood, the fire goes out. Without gossip, the quarrels dies down. You see that? It's simple cause and effect. It's a real thing. It's predictable. And if you had different causes, it'd produce different effects. If you chop your firewood and you tend your fire, that will cause the fire not to go out and you won't get cold. If you talk about people behind their back, it will cause them to get mad at you. And in their anger, that might cause them to say bad things about you and do bad things to you. Cause and effect. It's how the world works. And that's why the disciples asked this question, Rabbi, who sinned that this man, that this bad thing happened? There had to be a cause for this effect. It's how the world works. Sometimes. But not always. Jesus says to his disciples, it wasn't that this man sinned or his parents. Jesus says his disability is not his punishment. Now, Jesus is drawing on another side of biblical wisdom. So there's the Old Testament wisdom in the book of Proverbs that's very practical, very everyday, cause and effect. But there is another side of biblical wisdom that's drawn from the book of Job. You remember the book of Job? It tells a story about this guy named Job and all his sufferings, and his friends had the same question that the disciples of Jesus had. Who sinned? And what did his friends assume? Job did something to deserve this. That's why all these bad things are happening. And God, if you read the book of Job, gives the same answer that Jesus gives to the disciples. It wasn't that this man sinned. That's not the cause. And so Jesus' wisdom, it doesn't erase the wisdom of Proverbs. We still live by the wisdom of Proverbs, cause and effect. Chop your firewood and you won't get cold in the winter. That's real. Your actions and my actions have consequences. We are responsible for our actions, but the universe is more complicated than that. Next slide. There is a principle of cause and effect, but it's not just a single chain of dominoes falling down. The universe is much more complicated. It is billions and billions and billions of chains of dominoes. And so there is no way that we can see all the causes in the past to say that's why this happened. There's just too many causes. And even if we could see all the causes that are able to be seen, there are still a whole other class of causes that cannot be seen or measured. Because the Bible reveals that there is this whole other dimension to the universe, a spiritual and invisible dimension. And in that dimension, there are spiritual forces of evil, spiritual beings who have fallen, who are in rebellion against God, and they introduce their own causes into the system that we can't see, that we can't know. Read the book of Job, chapter 1 and 2, and the conversation between God and this fallen spiritual being known as Satan. We just don't know why a bad thing happened, unless God specifically tells us why. Why don't we know? Because we are finite creatures, and there's only so much knowledge we can handle. Two, the universe is infinitely more complex than we can appreciate. And three, it is under attack by spiritual forces of evil that are incomprehensible to us. And so unless God tells us the reason why, you and I cannot know if a certain kind of suffering is a punishment for something bad, and you can't know if success is a reward for something good that you did. You just can't know. So what can you know? In Jesus, you can know that whatever happens, God is working through it. You can know that. You can know that whatever the suffering, whatever the success, whatever the blessing, whatever the failure, you can know that it is not God's goal to give you what you deserve. God's goal, God's promise, God's plan, God's future is to give you what Jesus deserves. And so you can stop asking this question. What did I do to deserve this? You can just be free from that question. You just set it aside. You don't have to ask that. What did I do to deserve this? And you can start asking the question, how is God working through this? How's he working through this? You can know that he's doing a greater work. See, there are some things we just can't know. We don't know why bad things happen. Now, God is not the cause of sin and evil. Sin and evil, that's a real thing. It causes real suffering and real pain in this world, but God is not the cause of that. Sinful humans, fallen humans, rebellious spiritual beings are the cause. And God, for a time, for a season, allows these things to happen in our lives. But we don't know why. He stops it in one place and allows it to go on in another place. We don't know why he says yes to one prayer request, but says no, or not yet, to another prayer request. We don't know why. The universe is just more complicated than that. Even if God tried to explain why, we couldn't handle the explanation. We couldn't know. It's too complicated. The universe is complicated, but God in his heart is not. It's very simple. God's a father. He's always been a father. Even from eternity, he was a father. He loves his son in the power and love and joy of his Holy Spirit. And he created the whole universe so that he could adopt you and me as his children. It's just that simple. Above all else, God values relationships. And he wants to share his life-giving relationship with everyone. The problem is we made it complicated. We rejected God. We thought that we could have life on our terms. We thought that we could have a life that we earned, have a life that we deserve. But there's no life outside of God. There's no good thing outside of God. There's just the questions, these backward-looking questions. What did I do to deserve this? And all the pain that they cause. And that pain that those questions cause can't even compare to the eternal pain and suffering that is the consequence of our rejecting a relationship with God. And so God, very simply, sent his son to save us from this, to take all the consequences into himself, to die with them and rise again so that we could have what Jesus deserves, life in his name. And so that we could share this life with other people, so that the works of God would be displayed in you and me. Nick Vujicic, the man I mentioned at the beginning, he says that John chapter 9, the story we just heard, changed his life. Not because of the miracle that the guy got to see with his eyes, his physical eyes, but because of the miracle that he got to see Jesus in faith. And to know that Jesus loves him and has a plan for him. That's the miracle. Nick says that he has prayed to God for a miracle. He's asked God to give him arms and legs. He says he even keeps a pair of shoes in the closet just in case Jesus wants to answer this miracle and give it to him. But he hasn't yet. Now, Nick knows that one day Jesus is going to come. He's going to raise the dead, and he's going to give Nick arms and legs, and he's going to heal him. He's going to heal us all completely. He knows that day is coming, but here's what he also knows, that until that day comes, Jesus still has work for him to do now, even as he is. Nick is my hero. He is an amazing man. He has a story to tell, and the story is always about Jesus. There's something about him. It's his smile, his joy. You see a guy with no arms and no legs, and you're like, what is different about this guy? People are drawn to him. People want to hear him speak in a way that I can't speak, and many of you can't speak, but he can say it. Maybe you recognize him from this movie. He was in the movie The Butterfly Circus. It was a short film, came out in 2010. He was the main character, a guy with no arms and legs named Will. He was named Best Actor for that, for his performance at film. Nick has traveled all around the world. He's been to 65 different countries. He has spoken to 16 different world presidents, addressed 9 different governments. He has addressed 6.5 million people live in person. And every time he speaks, the message is always about Jesus. It's simple. He says, God loves me and has a plan for me. God loves you and has a plan for you. But every day he still works, he wakes up with no arms and no legs. Life is hard for him. He has a full-time in-home caregiver, 2 actually, that work round the clock. There is much suffering that comes with his condition. And some days, just like you and I do, he wakes up and he feels worthless. And he has no reason to live. See, what we're up against is much worse than just the consequences of our sin, natural consequences. It's worse than bad karma. We have an enemy who is trying to destroy us, who's trying to think that we're getting what we deserve and trying to separate us from the Father who loves us. Last one. Nick tells a story about when he was speaking at a church, and in the back of the church, he saw a little boy with no arms and no legs, 2 years old. He later found out that his name was Daniel. And his father held his son Daniel up in the back, and Nick asked him to come forward up on stage. And his father sat Daniel right next to Nick. And Daniel had a little foot, just like Nick. And Nick said, I couldn't give him a high five, so I just put my foot on his foot. And he looked up at me, and I looked down at him, and he smiled. And Nick says, my whole life flashed before me in a flash. All the bullying, all the suffering, all the suicide attempts, and now me being married and having 4 kids. And I realized that when I was Daniel's age, I had no idea what Jesus was going to do through me and how he was going to work through me. And now Daniel's got to go through all that pain and suffering and blindness. And he realized that God had sent him as a gift for Daniel to give what no other human being could give in that moment. And so also with you. It doesn't matter what disability you carry, what disadvantage, what disappointment. It doesn't matter. God loves you. And he has a plan for you. And you are his gift to someone who needs it. Amen? Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. And at this time, it is time for us to gather our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Also, take a moment to sign the folder in your pew just to let us know that you're with us today.
Forever will be. summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, joy with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Please rise. It's at this time, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we confess what we believe by saying the words to the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps us with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Yet in this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And at this time, let's lift our prayers and petitions to our Heavenly Father. We pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for the gift of life. And we thank you that you forgive us, Lord, for those times when we take for granted that gift. We ask you to be with all of those, Lord, who are questioning their place on this planet, that they may know that they truly are a gift and that you do have a purpose and you do and love them and will work through them. Lord, we also lift up the tragedy that happened in California late last night, Lord, another shooting where 10 individuals lost their life, and another 10 individuals or more have been wounded. Lord, sometimes it is so easy to despair when we continually hear about the evil in this world, but again, we know that through all things, you are there. We ask you to comfort those who are hurting, to be with those first responders who are tending to those in need, both there in this tragedy and throughout the world. We lift those up who put themselves in harm's way on our behalf. We continue to, Lord, lift up the situation in Ukraine, Lord, the unspeakable evils that are happening there, Lord, just not only in Ukraine, Lord, but there's calamities and things all around the world, Lord. Again, Lord, we just lift all of that up to you, knowing that you are there working through this. And as we go into our National Lutheran Schools Week, Lord, we just thank you for the gift of our schools, for our teachers, all of those who have heard the call to share your gospel message each and every day in the classroom, reaching those who definitely need to hear you and know you. Bless their efforts, Lord. All these things, Lord, we lift up to you, praying the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We now begin our time of sharing the Lord's body and blood given to us in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. There is a nice set of questions in the bulletin about in the middle, on a communion note. Very helpful set of questions to prepare your hearts to receive the gifts of God that he gives through the body and blood of his Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The gifts of God for the people of God.
Longing just to bring something.
Receive the blessing of the Lord. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in the one true faith to life everlasting. And the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.
That we've got a lot of stuff going on this week, Life Sunday, and also National Lutheran Schools Week. So, Kathy, where are you? I'm going to have you come up.
All right. So I wanted to share a little bit about what National Lutheran Schools Week is, because some of you might not be familiar. And essentially, this next week is National Lutheran Schools Week. So all of the Lutheran schools across the nation, and even Lutheran schools that are established in other parts of the world, are all going to celebrate our mission and what we do every single day. So we celebrate the mission and the outreach of our schools. Our mission here at St. Mark's is to equip students for service to God, to our family, and to our community through daily work, daily study of God's Word, and through academic excellence. So we get to do the academics all year long, but this special week, we get to do the fun stuff. So this week, we have a lot of special events. We have a praise and worship day. We have a faith in action day where our students get to go out in the community and serve areas in Eureka, areas in St. Louis, children's hospitals, women's shelter, even Victoria Gardens that's right next door. So we're so excited that these kids get to go further out of our school to help others and to witness God's love to them. We also have dress-up days, so our kids get to come to school dressed fun, like career day is tomorrow. We have a Western day, pajama day. Who doesn't love to just get out of bed and come to school in their pajamas, right? We also have things like a bounce house day. We're going to have a pancake breakfast on Thursday morning, so parents of your kids, come on over to our pancake breakfast at 8:30. And we also have a food drive friendly competition between our early childhood students and our K-8 students to see how many items we can collect. And those food items will be donated to the Easter basket meals that we provide at Easter time. So with that, you can check out our Facebook page to see all of the fun things that we're doing. But also, I just ask that you pray for all of our students. Pray for our teachers. It's a crazy week, but they're also really excited to do all these things, too. So continue to pray for the mission of our school, that everything that we do is to God's glory. We do have students standing at the doors as you leave today that have bookmarks that just thank you for your prayers and your support for our school. That's all. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Our Lutheran schools truly are a blessing because they get to touch lives 5, 6, maybe sometimes 7 days a week. So continue to lift our school ministry and all school ministries in your prayers. Also, some additional prayers. We are still going through the call process, so continue to keep those individuals who are serving on the call committee in your prayers as we look for a new associate pastor to serve here along with Pastor Bob. There is a door offering for Lutherans for Life, so as you depart, I ask you to consider generously giving to that. And also remember that we will have a Bible study afterwards with Pastor Mike, so I encourage you to stay. Lots of things going on, so read your bulletins. Go with God's blessings on your week.